Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all and welcome to the program. And in today's program, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, when Jesus comes back out of the wilderness and starts doing miracles. And people think, what is this guy up to? They're questioning who Jesus is and what happened to him. So we'll find out about that, and let's pray and bring this program to the Lord before we get going. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are glorious, you are good, you take our lives totally under the control of your hand, and we trust ourselves to you. And in this program, Lord, help us to look at your word, to understand your word, and to understand your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, Son of God and Lord of the universe. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look at the passage, Luke chapter 4 and verses 14 to 21. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So let's get some little details out of this before we get into the thing. Firstly, Jesus was obviously able to read. The idea of a poor illiterate carpenter is knocked on the head. He gets the scroll here and he reads from it. And we find that even at the age of 12, he was astonishing the scribes. Jesus was highly intelligent, highly literate, and able to read scrolls written in Hebrew and to bring forth the word of God in the synagogue. And next we find out that he grew up in Nazareth, where he grew up. Now, for those of you that have heard some of the nonsense coming out of the New Age movement that say that Jesus went to India as a child and he did this and that, and from the age of 12 to 30 he was wandering around the world, that is not indicated here. It says he went to the synagogue in Nazareth, where he grew up, as was his custom. So he was from Nazareth. He was called a Nazarene. He wasn't called a guru. He wasn't called someone that had wandered around the India or Buddha or something. He wasn't called a sadhu or anything like that. He was Jewish. He grew up in Nazareth. He was the carpenter's son. In the next verse it says, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He was known by his community. He wasn't someone who'd been wandering around the world with Joseph of Arimathea, as a particular cult group says. Now, all that is nonsense. Jesus grew up in Nazareth as a child, as a young man who has a carpenter, and he had a daily, or not a daily habit, a weekly habit of going to the synagogue as was his custom. Jesus went to church, and you should go to church as well. If Jesus went to church, you should go to church. That is, his habit was to be in under the sound of the word of God on every Sabbath day. And you should be under the sound of the word of God on a regular basis to grow your spiritual life. If Jesus needed to hear the word of God, you need to hear the word of God. If Jesus needed to go to church, then you too need to go to church on a regular, customary basis. It's good to have habits. It's good to have godly habits in our lives. So Let's start at the beginning of the passage. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went into all the surrounding country. And we find in Matthew that as he came back, he did mighty miracles, and everyone up even into Syria came bringing their sick to him because of all the miracles he was doing at that time. He was in mighty spiritual power for healing, for deliverance, for the casting out of demons, and so on and so forth. So Jesus was working in mighty miracle working power, and God was working through him to do marvelous things for people. Now, what was Jesus doing? And here it says, he brings the passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? "Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So, well, what's he doing? He is setting people free. He's taking the burdens off from people's shoulders. He's not putting new burdens on them. He's getting rid of oppression. He's getting rid of disease. He's getting rid of demons. He's getting rid of the things that are crushing people down. He was taking the good news to the poor, so the poor people were going to rejoice. He was helping those who were helpless and oppressed in this way, that, or the other. And it covers a lot of categories there. And, of course, some of these are spiritual. Yes, he proclaims recovery of sight to the blind physically, and he did heal many, many blind people. But he also helped people to see spiritually. So there's a physical dimension and a spiritual dimension to the miracles of Jesus Christ. He opens the eyes of the blind to the presence of God, the power of God, and the goodness of God. And and Jesus' miracles tell us that God is good. God is on our side. God wants us to be a winner and not a loser. God wants us to rise up in life and be free from things such as blindness, disease, demonic oppression, addictions, prison sentences, and all the other things that come upon people through the captivity to sin and darkness. God wants to free you from the oppression of the devil, which the devil wants to do. He wants to keep all of us in captivity, in rage, in disobedience. He wants to turn us into sons and daughters of disobedience, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And so you and I need to be set free. We need to be liberated. And Jesus talks about liberation. Now, this is the gospel. The gospel is good news. That's what the gospel means. It's good news. It's not bad news. So there's some kinds of heavy religion. The heavy religion comes to you and says, do this, do this, do that, just like the Pharisees did. And the heavy religion makes your life worse. It makes you feel guilty. It makes you feel broken. It makes you feel worthless and never lifts you up, never bothers to help you. And says the Pharisees put heavy burdens on men's shoulders and didn't lift a finger to help them. And that's what Jesus was coming to people. He came to people to help them in their life situation and in their spiritual situation. He fed 5,000 starving people. He didn't just say, oh, well, go find your own food. You've come for my teaching, now go off. That's what the disciples wanted to do. The Pharisees had no power to help people. The Sadducees had no power to help people. The priests in the temple just demanded sacrifices and attention and religious pomposity, but they never helped anybody to get better. They didn't do any miracles. That blind man, the lame man who sat at the gate beautiful for his whole life, and none of the priests healed that lame man. And eventually Peter and John go up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that lame man walked. Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, the lame man walked, because that's what the gospel does. It takes people who are sitting there in helplessness and poverty and all the weight of the world on their shoulders, that the priests aren't helping, the Pharisees are not helping, the Sadducees are not helping, the heavy religions of this world are not helping. They just leave people in the ditch. But Christianity says, rise up and walk. That's the gospel. The gospel's a gospel of healing, a gospel of deliverance, a gospel of good news for the poor. And so here Jesus has come back. He's come out of the desert. He's got the glory of God on him. He's got the anointing on him. And the anointing is not just there to put on a big display in a tent somewhere. The Nordic's not just there to have huge loud services and get people entertained. The anointing is there to break the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. That's there in Isaiah somewhere. The anointing breaks the yoke on people's lives. The devil puts a yoke on people, and heavy religion puts a yoke on people and crushes them and makes their lives terrible and miserable and oppressed in many, many ways. But the anointing breaks the yoke. It sets people free from bondages and darkness and demons and diseases and sin and hell and everything else. The anointing breaks the yoke that is knocking people down all the time, and Jesus wants to break the yokes in your life right now. Bring your burdens to the Lord. Your burden might be poverty. Your burden might be some sickness. Your burden might be afflictions from your family, which is arguing with you and causing you all sorts of mental and emotional distress. Your burden might be some kind of spiritual attack, but God wants to help you in that. God's a God of blessings. God's a God of miracles. God's a God who gets us through life, even when our head feels like it's going to explode from all the troubles and stress and strain that comes upon us. So you need to bring your burdens to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe that you've got the anointing, and the anointing will break the yoke. I want you to break the yokes over my life right now. And Jesus taught in all the synagogues. He went from one place to the next place to the next place. It says that here. And a report about him went through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So Jesus came to them. Jesus went to their synagogues. He went to their villages. He went to where they were at. And Jesus will come to you, whether you're standing by the kitchen sink, whether you're asleep in bed, whether you're there in hospital listening to this radio broadcast. Wherever you are, Jesus is coming to you. He wants to visit you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to break the yoke off your shoulders. He doesn't want you to be miserable. He doesn't want you to think terrible things about yourself. Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to take away your blindness, your depression, your diseases, all the things that have come upon your life over the years, all the misery of your heart, all your feelings of rejection. Jesus wants to heal you right now. Jesus wants to do a mighty miracle in your life right now. And I ask you to open up your heart and your mind and to believe that God loves you. I want you to believe that God has blessings for you. I want you to believe that God has a miracle for you this week, today, as you're listening right now. Say to God, Lord Jesus Christ, worker of miracles, bearer of the anointing, come and touch my life with your anointing right now and solve all of my problems. And I got some terrible phone calls recently. I got a phone call yesterday from a guy in Billings, Montana, who's fallen off the wheel. He's in terrible emotional pain. He's done some dumb things. And God will set him free. And God will set you free, because God is a God of freedom. He's not a God of oppression. Look at the freedom that Jesus is bringing to these people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. It sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty to the captives. Get that. God, if you're captive to something, if you're captive to drugs, alcohol, some addictive plant like cat there in Sudan, whatever you'll have that's got you captive, it might be a financial problem, it might be gambling, it might be a habit. Liberty is what Jesus wants. He wants to set you free. Jesus wants to set you free, and he wants you to know the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you feeling beaten up. He doesn't want you feeling like you're in a dungeon year after year after year. He doesn't want you to be a failure. God does not create failures. The devil leads people into sin, temptation, death, and destruction. The devil creates failure. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. But what does Jesus come for? So that people might have life, and might have life abundantly, John 10:10. So here, Jesus is bringing abundant life, not just eternal life. He's bringing abundant life to the people, liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. There's that word liberty again. God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free from sin and death and depression and drugs, and every kind of thing that's oppressing you right now. Jesus says liberty. And as I'm speaking on this TV program, on this radio program right now, I say liberty. Liberty, liberty to the oppressed, liberty to the captive, liberty to the person that's carrying a terrible burden at the moment that they think is too much for them. God speaks to you and he says that burden will roll away. Trust your burden to the Lord, for he cares for you. Roll that burden on the Lord, for he cares for you. And we've all got burdens. I've got my burdens. My ministry has my burdens. My friends, my family. Everyone's carrying a burden of some sort, and we need to roll them all on the Lord. We can do some bits ourselves, but God needs to do the rest. And God is the one that can give you liberty if you're oppressed. Now, some of us are very conscientious. Some of us have a list in our head that we've got to complete by the end of the day, or we feel like we're a bad person. And we are oppressed by our own expectations of ourselves. I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other. And in ministry, those expectations build up all the time. And I've got to give my to-do list to God. I've got to say, God, I'm not going to let my to-do list beat me up all the time. I'm not going to let this list of tasks make me feel miserable because every day I get up and my to-do list looks impossible. How am I going to get all these things done? How am I going to get these radio programs out before I go and travel tomorrow? I've got to travel for a while. So I've got to get some radio programs out in advance. And I've got to do this and I've got to do that and get to the bank and pay this and pay that. And that's life. Life gets terribly, terribly busy. But if we're sensitive, if we're too sensitive, all that busyness becomes an oppression. We feel like we're being squashed flat. Well, God wants to set you at liberty from your own demanding nature and the demanding nature of other people. And even from he wants to set you at liberty from a corrupt government. He wants to set you at liberty from those people who are making your life miserable. And the number one person who makes your life miserable is yourself. You set all those expectations, you make those decisions, but God wants you to have liberty from your own ego, from your own feelings, from the moods that you get into, and you get oppressed by being in a bad mood. God wants to set you at liberty from the bad moods that take over your life, your addictions, and your compulsions, because Jesus is about freedom. Jesus is about freedom and he's about liberty. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What's the year of the Lord's favor? The year of the Lord's favor, the year that comes once every 50 years, the year of Jubilee, is the wiping out of all the debts. All the people who owed money for this and that, their debts were forgiven and their land was restored to them. So God wants to restore everything that is rightfully yours to you. There's a time of restoration. God wants to restore things into your life that have gone by the wayside because of sin, because of injustice, because of oppression. The year of the Lord's favor is there right now in your life. Jesus wants to restore back to you the things that life has stolen from you because he's got the anointing, and the anointing breaks the yoke. And all that injustice, all those bad things that have happened to you, God wants to restore to you. Now, I had some very difficult childhood circumstances and other things. And I thought my life would be forever down in the dumps, that it would never get up, I would never be successful. That I'd always be living in some kind of poverty or whatever. And God changed that. And now my life is good because God has taken away the curse of all the years. The curse that came upon me because of the illnesses I had as a child, because of various other things that happened to me, relationship breakdowns and rejections and things like that. And God has taken over. God has restored to me the years that were eaten up by the devil, eaten up by bad circumstances. And God can restore to you far beyond your expectations. There was one king of Judah who had hired the army of Israel to take on the Syrians, and he paid the army of Israel 100 talents, which is an awful lot of money, millions and millions of dollars. But God said, now send the army of Israel back. You don't need it. I'm going to defend you. And this king of Judah, whose name I can't remember, says, what about the 100 talents? What about all this money that I was paying for him? He says, let it go. I can give you much more than that. God can give you much more than the money you've lost, the years you've lost, the time you've lost, and the relationships you've lost. God gave that king much more than 100 talents, which was like $100 million, $100 billion, whatever it was a huge chunk of money. And God restored that, and God will restore you. God will make up for the things that have gone wrong. Did some relative of yours steal your car? Did some relative of yours, you lent the money and they never paid it back? Don't worry about it. God's the God of restoration. God's the God of the favorable year of the Lord, where he restores back to you all the things that life owes you. And you can claim that. You can say, the gospel tells me that I will experience restoration of finances, relationships, and above all of your own soul. Sometimes you get so beaten down by life that your own soul feels shriveled up inside you. God, restore the souls of the people listening to this broadcast. Restore hope. Restore love. Restore relationships. Restore joy. Restore faith. Restore strength of heart and mind to everyone listening to this broadcast. Restore to them the soul that God wants them to have. You are supposed to be in the image of God. You are supposed to be in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's full of faith and hope and love and joy and peace. And that peace that may have been taken away by the circumstances of your life, that peace is now restored to you, and God will give you peace through all the circumstances, ups and downs of life, because this is the year of restoration. And God will restore to you the spiritual, it will restore to you the physical, it will restore to you the emotional and the intellectual. God will bring back to you the things that the years have taken from you. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy will not have the last word, because God is the God of liberty. And God will bring all these things to you. Now, in the end, he's got this scroll. He reads this scroll out to the synagogue. He says all these wonderful things, and they're looking at him. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus says he's the fulfillment of the scripture. Let's get that clear, folks. Jesus is saying that he is the fulfillment of the scripture. And this is a theme in Luke that goes all the way through to the Emmaus Road in Luke 24, when Jesus points to the scriptures and all the things in the scriptures concerning him, starting with the law and the prophets. He tells them everything that is about him in the Bible. And so the scriptures, where do they point to? The scriptures point to Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the glory of God. He is the express image of God. He is the fulfillment of the law in himself, because he has completed it. And on the cross, he died to the law and rose again. He is the fulfillment of every prophetic word in the Old Testament. The prophets prophesied of him that he would have this anointing, that he would set people free. They prophesied he would die on the cross, that not a bone in his body would be broken. They prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth. They prophesied all kinds of things about him. And there are 33 major prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament and hundreds of minor ones. But if we take the chances of those 33 major prophecies being fulfilled randomly, it's one in trillions of trillions. The number is astronomically large. It cannot have happened by coincidence. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He fulfills every word of God. And he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It's not something that we're going to wait for down the ages, down in the future, for the liberty for those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable of the year of the Lord. That's not something we're going to be daydreaming about, because it's fulfilled in Christ. And when you're born again, you have all the promises in Christ Jesus. It says that in Ephesians 1, verse 3. So all those promises there that have been read out, that we looked at today about freedom and healing and everything else, a spiritual sight, physical sight, being set at liberty, all those promises are fulfilled in Christ. Now, when you become a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you inherit those promises. They are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. They're not just for a particular moment in time, but God has given you all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1, verse 3. So all this stuff that Jesus is talking about wasn't just for the people in Nazareth. Otherwise, Luke wouldn't have written it down. It wouldn't have been any use to the Gentiles that Luke was writing for at the moment. It's not just for the Jewish people. Let's go over those promises again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed, and the year of the Lord's favor. That's all yours in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, those promises belong to you. You can take those scriptures, you can pray those scriptures, you can preach those scriptures, and you can claim those scriptures as yours. Whatever part of your life is broken, Jesus has come to fix it. And Jesus has hope for you. Today, do not be hopeless. Do not be struck down. Do not be despaired. Do not say, I am oppressed. I cannot get out from my oppression. Jesus has come to break the yoke of that oppression. You cannot deal with it, but Jesus can. So say to Jesus, I cannot get out of my situation. I am at rock bottom. I need your help. I turn to you, Lord Jesus, right now to take me out of my desperate situation. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Set me at liberty. You have come to heal the blind. Heal me now. Heal my spiritual side and my physical side. You have come to help the people that are cast down and broken, and the poor, those that are destitute in life. That's where you are. Cry out to Jesus because he's come to help you. He hasn't come to put a big religious load on your back. Jesus has come to help you out of the situations of your life. And Jesus wants to lift you up. Jesus wants to take you out of those situations that are holding you captive in life. Jesus has not come to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus hasn't come to make your life worse. Jesus has come to make your life better. Jesus has come that you might have eternal life and that you might have abundant life. He has come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he wants you to have the joy and peace of God in your life and to have victory over demons, over diseases, over every form of captivity and oppression and blindness and hurt and pain in life. God is promising you the victory through Jesus Christ. Reach out to Jesus Christ right now and grab hold of all that God has for you, his precious promises in Christ Jesus. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.